We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Good to Sal, who's down in Spartanburg, South Carolina, on the Wester Hotline. Bills practicing again today with the Carolina Panthers. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing all right. Howard's off today. It's funny. I would imagine that this trip for you guys is a lot of fun. You know, you've got the combine where you travel for the combine, but, you know, it's all interviews. This is training camp, but it's also work. It's also a little vacation. The media assembled. You're kind of away from home. Is it, I don't know, seems like a pretty good gig right about now.
Yeah, it's a different feel, that's for sure. You know, it's not Indianapolis, downtown Indianapolis. It's Spartanburg, South Carolina. But there's places to go and things to do. Went to a place last night you probably would have really liked called the Freight Yard. All right. It was pretty cool. They, you had drinks and stuff outside, but had cornhole, some basketball shooting, stuff like that. Just an outside type of environment. That was pretty good.
Competitive basketball? There's a little... Any horse, any knockout games played?
No. It was like one of those little Papa Shot games.
Oh,
you know what
okay.
I mean?
Right.
Like that you can kind of set up in your own garage if you want, one of those little deals. But anyway, that's the downtown Spartanburg. You know, blink it and you'll miss, but that's okay. Blink and you'll miss it, excuse me, but that's okay. It is a different feel, but, you know, training camp, you know, practice lasts, and then you do have work to do, obviously. What they have is a workstation set up at the press box of Wofford College, and I took a picture of this stadium when I got here today, Jeremy. I haven't tweeted it out yet. I'm going to. It is a really cool-looking little stadium. It's kind of looks like a big high school stadium. I like it. It's quaint. You could tell that, you know, they really care about their football down here, just kind of the way the stadium is. It's really nice. Now, the only other thing is I'll tell you, we are spoiled at St. John Fisher. This is one of the talking points of the media here this week. So at St. John Fisher, A, they take good care of us. They have a media dining hall after practice. They don't even have that here, all right? You're kind of on your own. Now, they did take care of us in the press box yesterday, but most of the media, most of the time here in South Carolina, for the Panthers, they do not have that. They also don't give them dorms to stay in like we have at St. John Fisher. These people travel for camp every day from Charlotte if they're part of the Charlotte contingent, or they have to get their own hotel rooms and things like that. But then as far as practice, this is the one that really gets you. We kind of have free rein, as you know, to walk around the fields at St. John Fisher. I can go on one side, the other side, just around the track. That is not the case here. We are tucked into a little corner basically during individual work. And once we go to team, they put us in a tent on one end zone, kind of all the media huddled together like cattle. And it's very hard to see. And there's really, the fans have a much better advantage point.
Hmm. All right. Well, that's good. The fans have a good vantage point at that point. So,
yeah.
And a lot of Bills fans, by the way, not only on the field. I saw Chris Brown, Steve Tasker, ran into a bunch of Bills fans out at a local establishment. I've now seen two people that have named their children Tasker. So,
wow, I know.
Right. So Bills fans showing up in full force down there.
Yeah, yesterday I had a video I tweeted out of me walking along just the white fence area right where the media is in that tent, like right around that area, and it was pretty insane. It was just Bills fan after Bills fan after Bills fan, and it's cool because when you go to St. John Fisher and there's a really nice play by the offense, you know, you get your oohs and ahs and cheers, but you also realize, wait a minute, that's our defense they're going against, right? So maybe it's a little bit, you know, kind of tempered a little bit, but here... I mean, it's an opponent. So when the Bills do something good, you can tell from the Bills fans, yeah. When the Panthers do something good, you can tell from the Panthers fans, yeah. So that kind of that thing is pretty cool. And then you got two different fields here. The offense of each team is going against the defense of the other team at the exact same time. So there's just so much going on. You have to kind of watch everything at once if you can. So it's an interesting setup. It's an interesting situation. I thought yesterday's practice was really good. Like, I mean. These kind of, I kept thinking, okay, like how much are they going to stop for fights? what's going to happen out here? None of that happened. I mean, there was one tiny little pushing and shoving that lasted maybe 10 seconds that was done. But, you know, from a practice football standpoint, Jeremy, I think if you could get that every day, sign me up every day. Yeah. That's the kind of practice that gets you better in training camp.
You wonder if teams can find another organization that they can kind of work with on this. They might do it every year. It might be kind of like a college football arrangement where the Bills are in Carolina this year, Carolina comes to Buffalo next year, and the teams somehow find a way to make it so it is productive and not detrimental to anyone's development.
That's right. And look, I mean, maybe we get one today. Maybe we get more than one today. You know, it's the second day. You just went against this guy. Maybe he beat you pretty good yesterday. You're mad. Something happens. You know, maybe this happens today. I don't know. But if we get the day we had yesterday today, I would say it's a really, really productive trip down here for the Buffalo Bills and for Carolina. I think Thad Brown from Rochester, we were talking last night, and he said he talked to Patrick DeMarco. DeMarco said he's been involved in like four of these types of settings, and this is the first time he ever had a practice where there was no fights.
Yeah. Well, that's good news. So what else did happen at this practice? I read your breakdown. We'll start with Josh Allen. I'd ask you, you know, what can you see 7-on-7 against a different defense or 11-on-11? So what kind of drills were there, and what did we see from the Bills offense and from the Bills quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, they had their normal, you know, practice like you'd have at St. John Fisher against their own defense. They did 7-on-7. They went 11-on-11. There were several periods of that. What I saw from Josh Allen was this was a good setting to see how he's really going to try and manipulate and figure out, you know, calls and coverages. And I really saw him hooking up with Cole Beasley quite a bit. And what really, not surprised me, but what really stood out to me was it was not just like the underneath stuff that we think Cole Beasley's going to, you know, be, that's his bread and butter, right? But it was outside the numbers. It was inside the numbers. It was 15 to 20 yards down the middle of the field. Cole had a really nice catch on a little in cut. Josh hit him on the money. And then Cole Beasley, boy, he's a really good athlete. Like, he was able to just put his foot in the ground and get vertical right away on that in cut, and probably would have gone for a big gain if it was in a game. I really like that. After practice, I talked to Cole about that, and you know, remember when I asked John Feliciano after the game Thursday about Josh, he said Josh has final say in a lot of the calls, and it makes the center's job easier. And I said, well, what about you, Cole? Like, if he has final say, obviously he can kind of do what he wants. And Cole just lit up, and he said, yeah. And like, this is what Josh does, and this is why he loves playing here right now. And he talked a real lot about how much he loves playing for Brian Daboll and the fact that they have so much freedom in this offense. This is a big theme for me, Jeremy. It's interesting. There's a lot of freedom in this offense for Josh to do what he wants to do and to figure out where he wants to go and to make changes. And I think Cole is really benefiting from that.
Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. So Allen has more freedom, right? That's what this is. This is the next step.
Yes.
This is, without making this direct comparison, are we talking about a similar thing where Tyrod Taylor year one to Tyrod Taylor year two, they give him more, whether or not that's freedom, more responsibility, more whatever, verbiage, whatever it might be. Sorry, I just clapped my hands as I was speaking. Is that a fair comparison? It's a young quarterback. For Tyrod, he wasn't as young, but he was going into his second year as a starter, so there's the natural progression of, okay, now you're ready for more. Is that what this is with Josh?
Yeah, I don't know how much freedom Tyrod really even had, though, right? If I go back and I think, I still think, yeah, he could change some things once in a while at the line, but, you know, that was him in year two. They were such a run-heavy team. Maybe he was changing, you know, which way the play would go. And I think he could change some things as far as, you know, the passing game. But it seems to me this is a little bit different, Jeremy. It seems to me this is basically, you know, Josh is the quarterback. He's not just the quarterback in the shotgun. He's kind of the offensive coordinator once they get to the line, right? Okay. I mean, like, okay, I'm going to make this, change that to this play and make this work. If you're listening to John Feliciano and say, Josh makes my job easier because when he's center, because he has the final say on things. And then hear Cole Beasley say, yeah, Josh just looks at what matchups he likes and he can set the protection to go to that matchup or where guys are coming from and things like that. So I think it's even beyond that. But I think the difference is Brian Daboll. That's what it seems to me. It seems like Brian Daboll has basically said, look, like, I know I got a second-year quarterback here. He's a rookie, but we drafted him to be a franchise quarterback. I'm not going to baby him. He's got to do this. This is what franchise quarterbacks do, and I think that's where this is coming from.
That's a good sign that the Bills have eyes on doing that eventually. I was mentioning this point earlier in the show, Sal, that they trade for Kelvin Benjamin, and then it doesn't work out. They had some interest or pursuit of Antonio Brown. So while they haven't gone out and gotten the big target receiver, the big number one, at least they don't have it on the team right now, I don't think, they have shown a willingness to look for that. And that, you know, for those of us that hope this team turns into more of a passing team, you know, giving Allen more freedom, looking for those wide receivers on the outside, despite maybe not having the perfect mix yet, I would say all that adds up to they might want to throw the ball more. And one of the biggest questions we have for this team this year is, will they be more of a passing team when they don't have to be? You know, first down, first and 10, second and 9. You know, a lot of times teams, the Bills more than any, will run in that scenario. And maybe this is the year that they kind of loosen up.
Yeah, so I saw Albert Breer at the hotel the other night, you know, name drop. No, really, I did. So he was here, but the reason I bring this up is he said, I said, you're going to be out of practice. He said, no, but I've been meeting with players and coaches, and I'm just trying to get a feel for what's going on, you know, with the team this year. So I went and I searched, and I found, you know, some stuff he tweeted yesterday, and I thought it was a really good little thread that Albert Breer put together. He had some really nice things about the Bills, good insight. I think reasonable, good insight, not over the top in any way. But one of them was interesting, and he said, and this goes back to everything we're talking about, he said the biggest change he thinks and the biggest jump for Allen in year one to year two is his willingness to take easy money. And I think this has been a talking point. We've gone back and forth a lot talking about this, right? We've talked about how, you know, it's not about Josh Allen not necessarily running. It's about, hey, go through all your progressions. If you got something there, you got to take it, right? That's what it is. And that's what he even wrote about. And this is coming from him actually after speaking with coaches and speaking with players, that he said that's going to be a big jump for Allen, his willingness to take easy money. And I think that's what I saw a little bit of yesterday, which is, yeah, Cole Beasley was really involved because he sees a matchup. He's like, okay, I don't need to throw the ball 40 yards downfield to John Brown. I don't need to find Robert Foster streaking down the sideline. I got Cole Beasley in a one-on-one matchup. I'm going to take an easy 6 yards. And I think that's where this is coming from.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline as the Bills are in Spartanburg, South Carolina for another joint practice with the Panthers. The practice, it will be next hour, and Sal will join us from the practice field at that point. Offensive line, Mitch Morse, we got good news. He's still in concussion protocol, but there were positive steps towards maybe getting out.
Yeah, I would think so. You know, there's not an actual update. Like, you can say he's in step 1, 2, 3, 4, anything like that. But just from seeing him in pads, which is just the leg pads, the lower half, he's wearing his pants with his thigh pads and things, red jersey on top, non-contact, that's obviously a good sign. He's not off on a stationary bike while everybody's doing their individual work. He actually was standing with his offensive lineman, fellow offensive lineman, while they were going against bags and things like that. He wasn't doing any of that, but he was standing there listening, paying attention, and watching as Bobby Johnson was teaching. And really, while he was in the concussion protocol earlier, he was more so just kind of off to the side, working with trainers on stationary bikes, things like that.
Rest of the offensive line, Cody Ford, Ty Ensekhi on the right side. That seems to be pretty standard.
Yeah.
Are you going to chisel that in at this point?
I'm going to start having a little darker pencil.
Okay.
You know, not a pen yet, because anything can happen with injuries. That's why. But, yeah, Jeremy, I think we're looking at Cody Ford as the starting right guard. Now, we are approaching the second preseason week. Unless they change for preseason week 3, I don't see that happening, and that would be another swift change. I like that side of the line like that, and then it gives Spencer Long an ability to be a swing man, especially with Morse's situation. I do think the one thing that could change things is if Morse comes back and then they say, well, okay, we got Feliciano, we got Long, and we got Morse, we can put one at guard, put Cody back at tackle. That could change things. But as of right now, I think that's the case. Quentin Spain is locked in at left guard. Deion Dawkins is locked in at left tackle. Interesting yesterday, the new kid they traded for, Ryan Bates, he actually got some work at center with the second group. He can play all over the line. But they're, you know, if they get a guy, they use him right away, man. He's in there. And then, you know, DeAndre Wesley has been the second team right tackle. I think he's in a battle right now with Connor McDermott for that swing tackle spot because Connor McDermott's in concussion protocol.
Sounds like if everyone's healthy, Sal, they know they're starting five. We wondered how long this would take, but, you know, you say the left side is set, the right side is pretty close. Morse, if healthy, is the center. So we know it, if healthy?
I think so, and I think we probably could pencil in the backups too, to be honest with you, Jeremy. I think that Connor McDermott, if healthy, and that, again, is your swing tackle. I think Wyatt Teller is your backup right guard to Cody Ford. I think that John Feliciano and Spencer Long would be your backup guard slash center, depending on, you know, it'd probably be Feliciano at center, and then Spencer Long at left guard or, you know, right guard, but they could flip-flop those guys with Teller. The question is, does one of these guys, I think Teller would be the odd man out, if anybody, in this type of situation. I don't see him being an odd man out. I think he makes the team. I think he deserves to make the team, but you do have to think about how many interior guys you have and how many you can keep on the roster.
Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. All right, Sal, so with that in mind about the offensive line, I want to ask you to speculate. The Jadeveon Clowney rumor, I mean, he's been connected to the Bills, and one of the John McClain, who covers the Texans, said they're looking for a left tackle. So Bill's Twitter kind of took off with that, with a Clowney for Dawkins. Would you do it? How? I mean, Clowney is a great player, is a good to great player. Dawkins is the Bills' starting left tackle. Would you see them in any scenario taking something away from their offensive line? It feels to me like even if they like that deal or a deal like that, they've waited a while to put together a line, and it feels like they finally feel like they might have it.
Yeah, I think it'd be a hard sell for them to do that. I mean, after all the changes they made, after the concentration they made on their offensive line, it would really take, you know, I mean, if Adrian Waddle didn't get hurt and Connor McDermott's progressing, and, you know, then you might start thinking about it and go, look, I mean, you know, we got three tackles here. Someone's going to play. But look, Adrian Waddle's out. Connor McDermott's in concussion protocol. You only have one backup tackle right now. Two, actually, I should say. And that's DeAndre Wesley. Connor McDermott's not healthy, like I said. So really, Wesley's kind of the only real healthy backup tackle they have right now there. It's other than guys that they've been thrown in there, like Ryan Bates, if he wants to, you know, you want to throw him in there. The thing is, Jeremy, that people have to remember is they cannot sign Jadeveon Clowney to a long-term deal if they trade for him. They have to wait till the season is over and then either franchise tag him again, which causes the money to go up even higher, or sign him to an extension then. Even if his agent said, yeah, sure, we'll sign with you, there's no guarantees. Why would you give up that premium of an asset to have no guarantee that he can be on your roster beyond 2019? Because the window and the dates for him to sign, to be able to do that, have passed, whether he's on the Texans or any other team.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. I saw a list of teams that were the five landing spots for Clowney, and the Bills were not listed, which, I mean, they've been mentioned a few times. I don't know what they do with Clowney. The point about not being able to extend him has to make his value on the trade market significantly less. Like, you just don't know what you're going to get. All right.
That's right.
How about Carolina, Sal? Their offense against the Bills' defense. Christian McCaffrey's a problem for most teams. How they deal with that? How did Cam Newton look? The Panthers' offense against the Bills' defense.
Yeah, the Panthers had one series and moved the ball pretty well, pretty effectively against the Bills in a red zone area. Cam was on the money, made some nice throws. McCaffrey, I don't remember who he's going against, caught a ball, put a move on somebody, did a great job. He's really good. He also, however, a little bit later, was running a little, I'd say, kind of a fade pattern into the end zone. Levi Wallace was there, and Levi Wallace came up with the interception. McCaffrey complained it was pass interference, but
Challenge
Levi had
it.
The interception. I think they
challenged,
yeah, no, right?
It.
They counted that. Kevin Johnson got time in the slot yesterday. That's interesting with E.J. Gaines' injury. That, you know, kind of shuffles things a little bit. He has worked in the slot, and he can do that, but he was there. He got an interception yesterday, Kevin Johnson did. So that was on a tip ball. He was there. I thought that, the Panthers' offense kind of started out better than the Bills' defense, and then the Bills' defense came around a little bit later, and they seemed to kind of, you know, take a little bit more charge. So it was interesting. It's like I said, it's interesting when you come down here and you're playing against another team, because you don't know how to see things when you're against yourself and you report on, okay, well, this is good, but it is against your own team, so that's bad. So which is good, which is bad? Here, there's no doubt. I mean, you're playing against an opponent. So I would say the Panthers' offense got the better of the Bills' defense early on from what I saw, but I thought the Bills' defense was really good later on.
Did either coach talk about how much playing time in the preseason game, or do we expect that today?
No, they have not yet. Sean McDermott said they're still going through that today.
Okay.
So I would not even expect that until sometime tomorrow to figure that out. They'll do meetings tomorrow, stuff like that, and then we'll find out what's going to happen on Friday.
And final question, or set of questions, inquiring fantasy minds want to know, Curtis Samuel, DJ Moore, how do they look? Who did Trey White shadow? You know, that's the sign of the number one, right? Who the Bills think is the number one. So the Panthers receivers, I actually got a text about this to ask about the Panthers receivers, and I have Curtis Samuel. So which one impressed you, if either one?
I think you're on the right side of that right
All
now.
All right. Jeremy. That's what I like to hear.
It's not about impressing. You know, for me, it's about, you know, how they're using them. And it seemed to me after the first day, Samuel was more of the go-to guy than Moore.
Okay. You know what?
If that means anything, I don't know.
That whole preseason pledge I've got, I'm ripping it up. I'm all in on Samuel. I'm all in on Curtis Samuel. All right, so we'll let you go, and we'll check in about an hour once practice is underway.
Yeah, we got Brian Dable coming up here, too, at 8:45, so we'll check in with you guys then.
Okay, sounds good. Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline from Spartanburg, South Carolina, as the Bills and Panthers engage in joint practices. They've got another one today, and then the preseason game on Friday. It is an exciting time to be a fantasy football owner because, man, there's everybody. It's all part of everything is great in training camp, where this guy's going to break out, and so is this guy, and so is this guy, and Curtis Samuel is a name that I've seen an awful lot of, I'm just saying. And DJ Moore is a guy that last year coming out I liked a lot. So they've got two receivers that are young and both looking to take steps forward. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to the texter who wrote in about that. Hope you got Samuel, or maybe Moore. They both could be good. Yeah, Brian Dable coming up at 8:45, the Bills offensive coordinator, to meet with the media. We'll carry that live for you. Brian Baldinger of Radio.com Sports at the top of the hour, and then back to Spartanburg at 9:30 for much more coverage of Bills and Panthers training camp joint practices here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
There's definitely an uptick because you're competing against other people, but I think both teams did a good job of keeping it productive and not constantly fighting or anything like that. You know what I mean? So, like, this could easily turn into.
That is Lorenzo Alexander with One Bills Live or at practice. Which one? He's always on One Bills Live. The Lowdown. Great segment. If you ever hear that Lorenzo Alexander's coming up, keep it locked and listen to One Bills Live for Lorenzo Alexander. Headlines for your morning. Happy Wednesday. Going to be beautiful today. Temps in the high 70s. Good day to get outside, do something, whatever you got to do. Bills and Panthers practicing again this morning. We're going to hear from Bills offensive coordinator Brian Dable in about 13-ish minutes, so we'll bring you that live. Coming up top of the hour, Brian Baldinger, Radio.com Sports, NFL Insider. And then Sal Capaccio comes back on the show from joint practice between the Panthers and the Bills. Those of you wondering what's going on in the offensive line, just a conversation we just had with Sal, looks like the starting line is in place if healthy. Of course, you slot Mitch Morrison at center, and he's still in concussion protocol, but was wearing a red non-contact jersey and going through some stuff that's a little bit a step forward. Didn't participate in any drills, but was in pads. So that's good. Dawkins and Spain, then Morse, Ford and Nsekhe. And Sal's of the belief that it looks like, he said, darker pencil. Maybe not pen yet because of injuries, but darker pencil for Cody Ford at right guard to start his NFL career. Ed Oliver starting on the defensive line next to Star. And those are your Bills headlines from training camp from Spartanburg. Lots of Bills fans were there. Practice this morning begins at 9:25, so we'll check in with Sal right after the preliminary stretching. Other NFL headlines, Antonio Brown back with the Raiders. There's some pictures out there of his feet, which people say are gross.
Yeah, it's not as bad, I think, as maybe people make it out to be.
I'm going to be honest. You show me a picture of any feet, I think they're gross.
I mean, I think
I can't think of one NFL player that I would... You show me their feet, and I think, wow, nice feet.
Right, but I mean, with, like, frostbite, you look at it, and you think, oh, man, it's, like, the dark black.
Right, right. I would have expected something like someone coming off of Everest.
Right, and it kind of looks like his normal foot. It's just that he said that they had to take some skin off of his foot just because of whatever happened.
Yeah. No, all right. So he's back at camp with them. They expect him to be good to go for week one. There's a video of John Gruden. It is, I'll tell you one thing that Hard Knocks is giving you is the real John Gruden. on some level. Did you see the one clip? He's really getting into it to the team. So you remember Gruden from television the last decade.
Mm-hmm.
He loves everybody. He's always pleasant. He's always, I'll tell you, this guy, you know, like he loves every single player. The Gruden grinder, he puts the quarterbacks through. Like, what's, you know, I'm not going to try and do a Gruden impression. Like, what'd you do here? Why'd you mess that up? And the guy talk. He comes out raving about everybody. Loves everybody in the world.
Nathan Peterman.
Peterman included. Loves. There's nobody Gruden doesn't like. Well, I didn't see the Hard Knocks episode, but I saw the clip. He's up there at the podium and at the lectern, whatever. He's talking, you know, yada, yada. And he starts, you know, like, he's into it. And then he just goes into full-on swearing, I want some bleeping execution. So you get to see a little bit of the slice of the real John Gruden as a coach there. But anytime a team's going to be going through that and have cameras, you got to wonder if it's entirely organic in just who he is or if he's playing a little bit to the cameras to look good. I mean, he's got a 10-year contract. It's not like he has stuff to prove. 803-0550 to join us. Get back to our topic from the start of the show. I asked a question about the Bills' offense and would love to get your feedback, your thoughts on this. And it is simply this. It does lead to follow-up questions, but just this one. Have the Bills done enough around Josh Allen to fully evaluate whether or not he's the guy right now, to support his skill set, to fully evaluate whether he's the guy? I think there are off-ramps on the yeses, and there are off-ramps on the noes. But do you think they've done enough around Allen where it's almost like the preseason pledge? It's a different one. The preseason pledge that I take is that nothing from the preseason matters because everybody's good, everybody's happy, and no matter what happens, you forget it in week one. So forget what happens in the preseason. But here's a different kind of pledge. Like, are you prepared to say, I know going into this year, this offense has enough pieces where it's no more excuses for Allen. It's about he's got to take the step. Last year, he played hero ball. Last year, he ran a lot. And throughout the season, my take on him running was whatever you got to do to stay alive in season number one because you don't have a good line. You know, we went through this with Taylor. He ran a lot, and it was, well, he's leaving other plays on the field. I was part of those that made that criticism. Year two, that might creep in for Allen a little bit. We'll see. But year one was do what you got to do to survive out there. You're a young quarterback. We'll get more on this. Let's send things to Spartanburg, South Carolina for offensive coordinator Brian Daboll.
Cream, anybody?
He's had about 12.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, give us your.
I'm not mad at you.
Your review of yesterday. I mean, obviously we're waiting for today, but give at least review yesterday how you guys did on offense.
Sure, it was a good day. You know, I've been in the league for a little bit and have done this a few times, sometimes twice during a training camp. It's always good to practice against another opponent, get different looks. You compete against different talent and different players. You know, I thought, give credit to Carolina, too. They came out here, and we practiced the right way. We got a lot out of it. It was good practice.
What are you looking for after seeing what Josh did yesterday? What do you want to see today in him? I mean, what kind of strides do you want to see him make against this defense?
Sure. Improvement. You know, this is like a little bit more of an up-tempo. We try to practice with good tempo. That's our standard, what we like to do. And obviously when you get against another team, it kind of ramps up a little bit more. So continual improvement, you know, make good decisions, throw the ball where it needs to be thrown, get us out of bad plays, things that, you know, he needs to do every day.
On that note, a couple of guys in the offense have said Josh has some freedom to do what he wants to do. He can change things. He kind of can set things. Is that something you planned on giving him from the beginning? Is that he evolved because of what you've seen from him?
Josh is a smart player. He has a good grasp of what we want to do, and you know, if I give him a bad call or there's a bad look on defense, you know, he has the freedom to get out of those things.
With respect to the O-line, I know Mitch still isn't back as a part of the equation yet here, but it looks like you've kind of whittled your list down to guys that are being considered for the top group. Would you say you're down to maybe six or seven guys at this point in time for the top group? Or
I think it's still a fluid situation. I think, you know, you try to get as much continuity as you can, and you know, whether Cody's playing guard or tackle and Ty's in there, it's a good competitive situation that we have right now, and there's a long way to go. got a lot of work to be done. So we're going to continue to mix and match guys, and you know, the cream will always rise to the top.
What have you seen with John Feliciano at center so far?
Tough. He's a tough guy. He's smart. He's been a really good addition. Has position flexibility where he can play guard, but has done a really nice job for us at center. A lot of communication that goes on there at that position. Been a really good addition.
Some of the younger receivers have commented on how John Brown has really kind of helped them with some of the route running techniques and then even in the room. I know you've been floating around a little bit more than maybe you did last year in the rooms. Have you kind of witnessed some of that mentor mentality on John's part? Because I don't know if that was completely expected, at least from the outside.
Yeah, absolutely. Very instinctive player, understands the game, particularly at that position, and the details that need to go into that game. Crisp route runner, leverage, angles, coming out of breaks, tracking balls. He's been very helpful in that room, and his two cents when we're watching one-on-ones, as I'd say Cole has too.
Brian, at what point for Cody's development, does he need to have an exact position to help?
We're hearing from Bills offensive coordinator Brian Daboll right now here at Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Cody's a smart, you know, a smart, tough player. Brandon and Joe done a great job of evaluating him and bringing him in. I have a lot of confidence in Cody that wherever we put him, he'll do whatever we need, and he'll be a success.
Yesterday, Cole Beasley seemed like he was being targeted by Josh. All different parts of the field. Is his ability to go to different parts of the field underrated? People think he's just an underneath guy, Brian, but what we've seen out here is he can use all parts of the field.
Yeah, Cole's a good route runner. He can run short routes, intermediate routes, deep routes. You know, usually those small guys are put into a box that they can only do a certain skill set, but instinctive, smart, can run a variety of routes for us.
Ray had a few, showed some good hands yesterday. Mm-hmm. Isaiah has made a few plays. What do you think about the decisions you're going to have to make at receiver there?
Yeah, it's always better to have tougher decisions to make than it is easier ones, and those guys have been battling back and forth. And even throw Nick Easley in, a young player, you know, out of Iowa, is an undrafted guy that, you know, it's a good competition there for the slot position or, you know, whatever number you want to give it. Those guys have been battling back and forth.
Brian, how valuable are these practices, specifically the reason of getting repeated 3-4 and underlooks on the line?
It's good. It's always good to practice against other teams. You know, it's not a preseason game, but it's almost like a preseason game in these practices. They're very competitive. It's not live, but you're getting good thud tempo. You're getting a variety of different looks that maybe you didn't get for the past 2 weeks or 3 weeks up at training camp. So the communication process is very important. The many more looks we can get, the better off it is for us. You know, I hope they come out here with as many different looks as they can today.
Brian, it's been a little over a week since you slid Cody inside to guard. Mm-hmm. How has he acclimated to it since from playing tackle all those months?
Good. You know, guard going inside is a little different. Things happen quicker. There's tighter space and things are on you a little bit faster. Again, Cody, you know, he played that, you know, a while back in college, and you know, he's been a right tackle since then. But you know, guys that are smart, guys that are tough, that can adapt, you know, those are the guys we like to work with, and he's certainly one of them.
Brian, you mentioned tempo a couple times. In what ways are you trying to speed up the offense? Is it strictly tempo, or are there also schematics?
Sure, I think you can, you know, you can have tempo just by huddling too, but being urgent out of the huddle with the linemen getting up, with the receivers getting set. And then there's different forms of tempo as you go, whether it's a two-minute tempo, whether it's a rapid speed tempo, whether it's up to the line of scrimmage and kind of see what the defense is doing. A variety of different ways that you can mess around with tempo, if you will, as an offense. And we try to do as many as we can.
What do you think about what Deion's showing you at left tackle this summer?
Deion's made big strides, I'd say, from the year I was with him to now. And, you know, I give, you know, Bobby Johnson and Hef and Wendell and the strength staff a lot of credit. You know, he's got a long way to go, a young player now, but has even taken on a leadership role, I'd say, as a young player. That's okay.
Same thing at Deion. When you look back at what he did last year, what did you recognize would have been the problem, like maybe slipped from his rookie? What did you see in his play last year?
Deion is a young player who, that's a tough position to play. And I'd say from last year to this year, I think his attitude's always been good. He's a good young kid. And I think that, you know, this year with some of the additions with the veterans that we've had have really helped him in the room, and as Bobby and the other guys that I've talked about.
Bobby said, I talked to him a couple weeks ago about this, and he said what he noticed when he watched film of who his guys were, he noticed a bit of a lackadaisical, not, you know, totally sloughing off, but that's what he noticed. There wasn't always urgency from what he watched on film. But
sure.
Did you gather?
No, I'm going to let Bobby speak for Bobby. I know.
No, I mean, do you agree with that assessment? Maybe is that what you saw too? Or?
Well, I think, not speaking for Bobby, but Bobby's one of those guys that if you watch his tape, everybody is, he's got a very, very high standards, as you guys can, you guys know. So, you know, Deion's been improving. I'm happy with where he's at. We still got a ways to go. But he's done a good job in camp.
Especially with all the tight end injuries, it seems like you've used Patrick DeMarco in a variety of ways. He's kind of been a little Swiss Army knife out there for you. Can you kind of just speak to his position versatility as well, Coach?
Sure. Smart. Played the game a long time. You know, you can put him in a variety of places. He's good to have. Yeah.
Thanks, Coach.
Good, guys. Thanks, Brian.
That's Bills offensive coordinator Brian Daboll on the Wester Hotline from Spartanburg, South Carolina. Sal was trying to say that. Sal joins us again in about 45 minutes. Practice will start in about 30. In the meantime, we'll get a break in. Brian Baldinger, Radio.com sports analyst and insider, NFL insider, will join us at the top of the hour. If you're not following Brian Baldinger on Twitter, I would very much recommend it. Great film breakdowns, two-minute breakdowns, not just Bills players, of course, but you want to see really good X's and O's stuff. He does a great job of explaining exactly what he's seeing, why he likes this guy, what he needs from this guy. A great follow on Twitter. So we'll talk to Brian coming up top of the hour. I'm going to break in back on the other side, 803-0550 WGR.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Back here on WGR. Hey, it's Hoagie Hump Day. You tweet the hashtag Hoagie Hump Day at WGR550, and you'll be entered for a chance to win a $25 gift certificate from Jim's Stakeout. That's the hashtag Hoagie Hump Day. Happy Hump Day. Bills preseason game on Friday.
Friday, yep.
Friday. And then games Saturday and Sunday. There's only one more Sunday without football until the Super Bowl.
Yes, that would be the right after the last preseason games.
Between the final preseason game and the season opener. That's the only Sunday without football until the Super Bowl. And there's a bunch of meaningless games on that Thursday.
There's a bunch of meaningless games in the preseason.
That's true.
Whatever.
That's true. I'm proud to announce, please be understanding during this time, I'm going to have a career high in number of fantasy football teams. I'm up to 5.
Congratulations.
I'm up to 5. But 2 of them are guillotine, and guillotine doesn't count the same.
Right, because if you're done, you're done.
You're done. I could be down to 3 by week 6. So guillotine doesn't count. How many for you?
I'm in 6 right now.
6?
Yep, and 2 of them are guillotines.
Okay, right. Guillotine is it's a gateway league. It'll get you into other leagues because you'll know more players. Yeah, 6. I'm in 5. All right, you're in 6. I don't feel so bad. What do you think the average number of leagues is? 2? I would guess the vast majority play in one league.
Yeah, a lot of people probably do just one.
5 is a career high. I've never gone higher than 3 before.
Last year was a career high for me with 4.
And you moved to 6.
And I moved to 6.
I went from 3 to 5. It's all because of guillotine.
I actually got asked to join another league right before the season started. Like, it was the day before the Bills played last year. And I was just like, yeah, no, I'm already in enough.
Yeah, I'll probably do 5 leagues and a survivor pool. And that might be about it. I've been asked to join a few and had to say, no, I'm at my limit. 5 is my limit. You know, maybe ask me next year. Are you going to gateway from 6 to 8 next year, maybe?
No, I really hope not. I really hope not.
Yeah.
It all depends.
Right, right. Yeah, I think when you talk about how many leagues you're in, you should be able to say it's two numbers. I'm in 3 and 2. Three leagues and two guillotines. Not the same. 803-0550 to join us. Radio.com, Sports NFL Insider Brian Baldinger coming up. When we get back, we'll talk to him about the Bills defense, about Ed Oliver. He's done a breakdown on Oliver. He did a breakdown on Tremaine Edmonds coming into year two. Big fan of both players. We'll hear what Brian has to say about the Bills defense and about the league on paper because, you know, who knows what happens during the year. But as we approach, he's got to look at all these teams. His Twitter feed, at BaldyNFL, gives you a good look at a lot of players. We'll talk about Tremaine Edmonds and Ed Oliver, among others, when we return here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.